Welcome to the Cloud Pod, where the forecast is always cloudy. We talk weekly about all things AWS, GCP, and Azure. We are your hosts,
Justin,
Jonathan,
Ryan,
and Matthew.
Episode 255, recorded for the week of April 10th, 2024. Guess what's Google next? AI, AI, and more AI. Good evening, Ryan, Matt, and Jonathan.
Hey, Justin.
Hello from beautiful Las Vegas, where I have officially acquired Vegas voice after being here for way too long. And, you know, also dealing with lovely hotel Wi-Fi, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's better than Ryan's at-home Wi-Fi.
Yeah. How's the world outside of Las Vegas? Is it good, Jonathan and Matt? I'm kind of jealous of both of you.
Cold, warm, standard East Coast weather in one day.
Well, it's only got progressively hotter here in Vegas. I assume it's due to all of the compute required for the AI stuff that Google announced this week. It's why the global warming is hitting Vegas pretty hard right at the moment. There's quite a bit of stuff going on here. I thought maybe we started about talking about the conference in general, just kind of general impressions and how it's gone. I was at the Moscone version 8 months ago, and now here at Vegas. I think it's definitely a big improvement over Moscone in San Francisco, but I would say probably some growing pains and teething problems of a new conference and a new hotel you've never been at. But I assume this will be a good place. And apparently that Google's going to be here for 3 or 4 years, which I think is great news. Ryan, do you have any initial thoughts?
Yeah, I thought, the improvement over Moscone is great, right? Because it was very cramped and hard to find things in Moscone. And then, just wasn't as well done. They put on a much bigger show down here in Vegas because you have to, and you have a lot more room, which I think is pretty great. Sessions were well organized. Getting the sessions was easy. There's a lot of walking, which is, my feet are feeling it after 3 days of going from session to session and going to meetings.
Which hotel is it at?
So it's at Mandalay Bay at their convention center, it's easy, very close to Allegiant Stadium. And then also they have their own arena here where they do boxing events and those kinds of things. And so they've taken advantage of all of that infrastructure. So the keynotes are actually hosted inside of the arena. The concert last night, which was Kings of Leon and DJ something, who's Anderson Park. It was all over at the Allegiant Stadium, which was a short walk across the way. They're taking advantage of the infrastructure that's here, which I kind of criticized Amazon for not taking advantage of that in the past. So it's nice to see, Google did some things right. I think they did some things wrong too. Mandalay, of course, and Delano are the two hotels here on campus. But then they had a bunch of hotels that are outside of the campus, that they're recommending you book at, and they had rates at. But then they didn't provide shuttle service. So they're relying on Lyft and Uber. And I think Ryan, who's over at the Vidara, can attest to the problems he's had with that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a little rough. There's been it's getting in and out of the sort of Mandalay Bay complex. I hope they learned a lot, just because there was, they tried to really funnel all the ride shares into one single line, which backed up traffic on the boulevard and sent drivers looking for different ways to get into Mandalay Bay, but they had closed everything off. And so it was turning into chaos and madness at the end of the events. So there's definitely some learnings. I think that they do well if they just had shuttles probably at the beginning and the end of the day. Maybe they don't even have to do as many as, like, say, AWS does, where they run every 15 minutes or whatever. But it'd be nice.
Yeah. They have about 30,000 people here is what we're being told as official numbers. So, it's easily double the size of what they had at Moscone, they said. And, 30,000 people, it doesn't feel like reInvent, but I could see, based on the positivity coming out of this event this year, I could see this event getting crowded very quickly.
Yeah. If it grew too much, I'd want, even more room, right? Because it's reInvent, it was getting a little ridiculous to squeeze all into the Venetian. And even once they expanded into the other hotels and having sessions and others, it was still too many people and too many things. Like in keynote, you're still walking down a hallway shoulder to shoulder with everyone. It's a little uncomfortable.
The question is, do they have free coffee? I mean, that's why I stopped going to reInvent, because they got rid of the free coffee. But
They do have free coffee. It's a little hard to find at times, but it was there most, in the morning and in the afternoon after lunch. Mm-hmm. I did not partake in the lunch service, so I don't know how well the box lunches were. Compared to Costconi, where it was all outside, I'm sure it was still better. Mm-hmm. So they also did a nice job on customer meetings with product managers. They have a much better space for that this year. The expo hall is probably my one kind of complaint. It feels cramped. One of the things about Moscone is it's a really tall convention space, and they took a lot of the same structure and they brought it here. And then they condensed it for some reason, which, when you do your social happy hours there and you do all the events in the exhibition hall, it made it feel very crowded in there. So hopefully they make some adjustments in that as well. But yeah, overall sessions were good. Keynotes, they didn't have enough space because the arena only holds 12,000 people and it filled up. But they did have overflow. We ended up overflowing to the food court and just sat there and ate and watched on my iPad. It was probably more effective. Ryan even challenged me before I went. I was like, why don't you just drink from the hotel room like you normally do? And I said, well, I wanted to try it out, and I didn't get to try it out. So lesson learned, Ryan was right, and I was wrong.
Make a note of it.
Yep. One time.
All right. Well, overall, I think this is definitely going to be a good place to come for future conferences, and highly recommend it. All right, well, let's talk about keynote. So TK, of course, Thomas Kurian kicked off the keynotes, and he pointed out that it's been less than 8 months since we saw you last year, but they've announced over 1,000 things in that time frame, which feels like a bit of a stretch. The tagline for this year was the new way to cloud, which if that new way to cloud is AI, then I guess they nailed that out of the park. They did have a video from Sundar Pichai. He had he said months can feel like decades in cloud, which all I can say is yes, it does. But he did highlight that, Google's now hit a $36 billion run rate, which is five times larger than the run rate was 5 years ago. So, congratulations to the Google team. They've done a great job becoming a solid player in the space.
Yeah, I feel like a couple of years ago, there was conversations of GCP getting killed off by Google and stuff like that. So it feels like they've really made a turnaround and they are fully investing in it in their cloud.
Agreed. So one of the one of my complaints about the keynote was that they, Amazon typically will have a lot of announcements in their keynote, and Google did as well. But Amazon at least spends 3 seconds on the slide and tells you what it is. Versus Google, which just put words on a slide and then just kept moving. I had to rewatch it this morning on 1.5x to try to capture all of the items to answer our question of who won the tiebreaker, but also just to know what they announced. So, in the keynote himself, he talked about the A3 Mega NVIDIA H100 GPUs are coming. The NVIDIA GB200s are going to come in early 2025. The TPU V5Ps are now GA. New HyperDesk machine learning for inference. CloudView storage fuse caching is now generally available, as well as parallel store caching. And that was all in the first 12 minutes. But that 12 minutes is condensed into two, where they actually talk about that stuff. He dubbed a lot of what they're talking about for AI and helping you do AI as the AI hypercomputer. And they reference a diagram quite often where they show different components of the hypercomputer and what they consider that to be, including things like dynamic workload scheduling, inference, model tuning, grounding services, foundational models. And so they have a really interesting viewpoint of how they're kind of thinking about AI as a hypercomputer and how it'll help you and your business. They got into dynamic workload scheduler for AI, a bunch of improvements to GDC, which is Google's on-premise offering, including NVIDIA GPU support, GKE Enterprise for Google Data Center, AI models and vector search and Vertex AI all coming to that, which are all pretty big enhancements if you're using the GDC technology from Google.
Yeah. And I imagine, that's pretty powerful for those people still on premise and don't want to really have their data moved around or have to manage that to, train all the models and build all that. So being able to use Vertex AI makes that a lot simpler. You don't have to build your own or use some of the other tools, which aren't as well sort of suited for it.
Yeah. Well, I imagine people, if you have, petabytes of data on premise that you don't want to move to the cloud, but you want to use Vertex for that. That's a really great option. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of potential use cases, you know, probably even more than for things like, you know, just basic compute, like things like Outpost provide you, to now be able to actually get your AI models next to where your data lives is tremendously powerful.
Yeah, absolutely.
Google's also now achieved secret and top secret accreditations for FedRAMP. So if you are looking to use Google for that, you can now get up to top secret clearance for your computing services you provide to the government, of course, assuming you meet all the other FedRAMP requirements. But step one, your data center has to have it. So that's a good starting place. One of the things I find hilarious is that Google has decided to install a Price is Right door that turns on the stage. And so, you know, TK came around the corner and basically held up a brand new chip, which is the Google Axion processor, which is the first custom ARM processor designed and built by Google using the latest ARM technology. They didn't compare it to Graviton or other solutions they currently have around ARM, but it's going to be coming out later this year. I'm looking forward to seeing what that does, because I think the, you know, having Google having their own native silicon could be really interesting. They highlighted its potential in AI and AI training models, but as well as just for general compute. And they said that they already are moving multiple services, including things like Spanner, to Axion already.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm super, super happy to see, you know, Google finally getting on the ARM bus, as it were. Yeah, I'm excited with that.
I really feel like this should have been one of our guesses compared to that Microsoft just announced this to, like, you know, whatever, what feels like 5 years ago, but I think was like, you know, December.
Well, I got tired of being disappointed because it had been my prediction several times.
Now you've moved on to new disappointments.
Everyone's kind of like, it looked very clearly that Azure and Google were just going to use partners and not build their own thing. And then, you know, yeah, Azure did announce it, but I didn't have a lot of hope. I agree with Jonathan. But, you know, they're saying it's 30% faster performance than fastest general purpose ARM-based instances available in the cloud today, up to 50% faster performance and up to 60% better energy efficiency than comparable current gen x86-based instances. Yeah, so I can't wait to see some benchmarks at the end of the day, but really excited for this one coming to the cloud on the Google side.
Yeah, but what's interesting will be to see what they've customized, because, you know, I'll give you a template for the core, and then you can add custom instructions or you can add custom bits and pieces. Be interesting to see what they've done differently, if anything, than AWS did with Graviton.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious at the end of the day to put all three of them to a test and kind of see where they all come out and what they've, like you've said, optimized for their specific clouds a little bit more.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure there's going to be some secret sauce and some things that make it special that will be interesting, and how those show up in benchmarks and metrics will be interesting.
And cost comparison for ARM processing is always a big factor, right? Because it's usually you can run a little higher workload on less.
Agreed. Well, keeping on the keynote at the rapid pace we're going through here, Gemini 1.5 Pro is now in public preview. CodeGemma is a new lightweight coding focused LLM that's now available to you in Vertex. You now have supervised tuning for the Gemini models available to you in Vertex, grounding with Google Search, which is really interesting. Is you take your foundational model like Gemini and you combine it with Google Search as your grounding mechanism, you actually get really a very powerful, very compelling use case for how to really vet some of your AI models.
Yeah, and who else can do that, right? Like, it's an amazing amount of data that you can use for that purpose, yep. Which is pretty cool, and it really sets Google apart a bit, I think.
Yeah. It's a pretty clever solution to the problem of grounding, really. Mm-hmm. So use the AI model to generate the content, and then use what you already have. It's easier to go back and search to verify something than it is to, you know, to generate it accurately in the first place. So that's a good combination.
Yeah. They also gave you a bunch of new AI model testing capabilities, including automatic side-by-side comparison, where they're calling it auto SXS. That's hard to say. Rapid evaluations, and then vector search general availability for their new customer agents, all available in that part of it. They did go into Gemini for Google Workspaces, which is, they have figured out that Duet is a terrible name, and now they're rebranding it. So they're in Google Workspaces, they're now enabling through Gemini AI meetings and messaging add-ons, AI security capabilities, and a Gemini in the Google Chat capability to summarize, you know, whatever chat messages you just missed over the last few hours while you were at the conference.
It'll give you a quick summary of what everyone was talking about and the key points. They've also given you now Imogen 2.0 is generally available in Vertex AI. This will give you the ability to do text to live images. So it's not quite video, but it's if you think about live flyovers, or they had an example of a flower blooming, very short little videos, but relatively tied to text. They now have digital watermarking for images created by Imogen, and now at new editing mode. So if you get an image from Imogen that you have something you don't like, you can now ask it to edit the image that it just provided to you and remove text or remove an object in it, which is one of my big complaints about image generation, is that it's not always good at it with words in particular. And so I've always kind of like, well, just remove the words, then it just generates you a different image. So that's a nice feature. I look forward to seeing that kind of roll out in the bigger Gemini models later on this year too.
Yeah, it's always a disappointment where you want to tweak one little thing in an image, right? And then you ask it to change it, and it's that totally redoes it in a different way. And you're like, that's not what I wanted.
They've brought Gemini to BigQuery, which seems like a no-duh. They brought a new BigQuery data canvas available to you, which basically gives you a journal type interface to BigQuery. Using the data canvas, you can do quick manipulations and querying across the system. They brought vector indexing to BigQuery and to AlloyDB, so you can use that to feed your models, and direct access to Vertex AI from BigQuery, so you can go either direction now if you'd like to. They've also added Gemini to Looker, so you can actually ask it questions about the data you're seeing in charts. There's a pretty good demo that they did in the keynote showing you the power of this capability, which I was impressed with, around some shoes that you could order. And then, again, with the Duet AI rebranding, the Duet AI for Code is now Gemini Code Assist, with Gemini 1.5 Pro being added to Gemini Code Assist as well, which will give you access to 1 million tokens, which will make it one of the most powerful coding assisting capabilities in the market today. And then Gemini Cloud Assist to help you with your application lifecycle as well.
Yeah, a million tokens is amazing. Oh, what was it? I think it was like 44 minutes of video or 30,000 lines of code. Some numbers like that were thrown around. That's amazing.
Yeah. 6 hours of audio, 1 hour of video, I think, is what it could process. Pretty impressive. And then for the security friends, they got Gemini added to a bunch of things, including threat intelligence, security operations, and security command center. I think, Ryan, you got to play with this one, didn't you?
I did. I got access to an early sort of hands-on lab, and it was a really powerful way to look at your data, because you can pipe so much data into these security tools, and it becomes a little bit daunting to go and figure out what's going on and to proactively monitor and feel like you're actually catching things, can detect certain patterns. And so the ability to sort of use prompt to query data and have it generate, certain query code within to generate reports or building lists was very powerful, very cool. And it made it a lot of fun. It was probably the most fun hands-on lab I've ever done, just by seeing, it's all dummy data, but it was a fun ways to like track things through for forensic analysis and to understand patterns and lifecycle. Super impressed.
Yep.
Do you know what's more old school than blowing on a Nintendo cartridge to make it work? Manually creating individual policies to achieve least privilege in your cloud. Leave old habits in the past, and with a single click, lock down access to sensitive permissions and services without disrupting DevOps. With the new Cloud Permissions Firewall from Sunry Security, you can easily restrict excessive permissions from human and machine identities, quarantine unused identities, and restrict specific regions and unused services with a click of a button. Start a 14-day free trial for Sunry's Cloud Permissions Firewall at sunry.co/cloudpod. That's sonrai.co/cloudpod.
So that's the 41 items announced in the 90-minute keynote. That also included, three customer testimonials and several demos as well. So it was rapid fire. It came at us quite quickly. And so, that means that we have winners and we have losers in our predictions. And I will tell you, I goose egged completely on predictions for Google Next. I did not get Gemini 2.0. I did not get LLM prompt security from Mandy at Google. And I did not get something around the brand confusion for GKE Enterprise and Anthos. Ryan also goose-egged. He did not get GCP will highlight their use of AI to tackle the climate crisis. He did not get a managed NFS or SIF solution, and he did not get an AI enhancement or robot to their Google Assistant home pad, which leaves Jonathan and Matt, who are tied one each. Congratulations. Jonathan did not get IAM conditions to support calling a web service. He did not get anything for IAM on the main stage, but he did get a new security forensics capability, which is the threat hunting Gemini capability, in my opinion. Matt did not get healthcare company will be a guest on main stage, which I'm surprised about. He did get integrations with Gemini and BigQuery, and he did not get GCP will make fun of Azure for backing Redis in a subtle way. Although we did, speaking of Redis news real quick, we did get unveiled to the new Redis logo and branding, which included their booth at Google Next. And if you'd like to order a pizza from the latest, greatest DoorDash competitor, Redis might be it. I don't know. That's what that logo tells me.
It was very confusing logo. I'm like, what? Oh, why did you change it?
It is horrible. If you've not seen the new Redis logo, it's worth mocking.
It does look like a stack of pizza boxes, isn't it?
Yeah.
I actually really thought I was going to get the healthcare.
I thought you were too. Then there wasn't a healthcare company, so you missed out. I did win the main tiebreaker on how many times AI and LLM was going to be said on stage. Per my Google Transcribe job that I ran on the video last night, it was mentioned 111 times. And because we were playing Price is Right rules, I had 78. Matt had 142, Jonathan had 52, and Ryan had 67. And so I was not close, but I still won. Thank you, Price is Right. But the second one, number of main stage announcements, 41, Matt won that. So technically, Matt, you've won Google Next Predictions for 2024. Congratulations.
The person that doesn't use Google can make stuff up very effectively.
I mean, if you don't want the win, I'll take it.
No, you'll probably win the Azure one. It'll be fine. And we'll all just lose the AWS one.
Mm-hmm. As usual. Yeah.
Well, I mean, based on how much AI was at this conference, I think I will never not predict AI things at this point.
Yeah. I feel like we're going to have rules around it, like only two of your predictions can be AI or something like.
Yeah. It's one thing I would like to see Google maybe separate the keynotes a little bit. Like, it'd be great if they had an AI keynote that was just AI things, and then maybe they could have like a normal Google Cloud keynote. Or, you know, like kind of Amazon has, you know, the Monday Night Live where they're doing hardware. Then they've got, you know, the kind of like a bunch of generic stuff. Then they do have an AI ML keynote, and then they have Warner's keynote. So maybe they could do something similar with Google, kind of mix it up a little bit and kind of break it down by, you know, interest of things. That'd be nice. I would kind of like that.
Yeah. The one thing I will say is they pushed a lot of other, you know, things that were AI related product announcements into the sessions themselves, right? So one thing I learned this year that I'll take forward to other conferences is the what's new in blah sessions. So, you know, I tried to get in one for VPC networking and I wasn't able to get in, but I did manage to get into like IAM and a couple others. And so there was a lot of announcements for enhancements done directly in those. So it was, you know, which is, you know, like it's not on the main stage. So it's difficult to sort of, make a tiebreaker on, but you get a little bit more detail. They can spend a little bit more time and go a little bit more in depth in the new feature and how it'll improve the service, which I really appreciated.
Yep. So other day one announcements that did not make main stage that were still also pretty nice. They have new computing and networking capabilities, including a new C4 and N4 general purpose VMs powered by the fifth generation Intel Xeon processor, as well as those enhancements to Google Cloud we talked about earlier. There was a bunch of database enhancements that didn't get main stage, including AlloyDB AI, Firestore enhancements for flexible natural language support, as well as vector capabilities for Firestore as well. BigQuery Omni got a bunch of updates as well around the new data center canvas, new natural language capabilities, curation, wrangling, and analysis, and workflows, all in Omni. And then, you know, some other things we talked about. So that was day one, and I was AI'd out by the end of day one. But still two more days of the conference. And this is actually technically day three, although there's not really any major keynotes today, so nothing big being announced, we think. Looking at all the stuff announced, any thoughts or any disappointments?
It was kind of funny because everyone I talked to at the conference, you know, Google employees plus just, you know, people meeting around, like everyone was exhausted.
You know, I kind of still miss the days of like new databases or like, you know, things more generalized in cloud computing than everything just being so AI focused. You know, and even like the non main stage announcements, like you said, like they're all still AI, Gemini, very centric, it feels like. You know, so like you're really telling me that, it, which is probably true, they dropped everything and made everyone incorporate Gemini and AI into their service to get it all out, which is true, but it just feels like, what about everything else that's going on in the world? Like there's no other things that they were able to find and announce or pull in, you know, for these, for the conference. So we kind of just missed that more holistic ecosystem. I also know that's where our industry is right now. It's everything's just so AI, LLM, ML, whatever the acronym of choice, because I feel like everyone uses them interchangeably these days. Like, you know, kind of like it, that's all that anyone talks about.
I mean, it's very similar to 2018 when it was containers all the time.
And then, you know, blockchains a few years after.
Yeah,
I agree with Matt for the most part. I think it kind of answers the question though, because 2 years ago it's, well, what, this is great, but what can we really do with it? It was a solution looking for a problem. And I think Google are really focusing on some real valuable use cases for Gemini, but for AI in general in other products, so that people can see the value of, you know, of what it can do for them.
Yeah. I mean, we had a lot of product manager conversations, Ryan and I, for our day job, and you know, those are things we can't talk about here on the show because they're under NDA, but like they're working on some really cool stuff. It's just, it's not ready for prime time yet. And that's partially, I think, a reflection of the fact that it's only been 8 months since the last conference. But also some of the stuff they're working on is really hard. But when they do ship it, it's going to be really cool. My fear for them, at least those product managers, is it's not going to make a main stage because it's not AI or super sexy. But like from us as practitioners who actually use cloud all the time, there are amazing features that are really going to be disruptive to things that we do today. And I hope that they get the time in the future to shine as well, because they're cool and they're going to be really good enhancements.
Yeah, I hope AI just becomes one of those features that everything has and they don't devote a whole keynote to it again, because I think it was a little much. It was really hard, as you know, sitting listening at home. It was honestly too fast paced, too many announcements for a keynote in, you know, in 90 minutes, and everything was just AI, AI, AI the whole time. And I kind of tuned out, honestly, because yes, I mean, once you've seen one AI integration with a tool, you can kind of guess what all the others are going to look like. So, I'd either have a separate AI conference to focus on the tech, but perhaps not the use cases for it all the time. But I'm kind of hoping they'll go back to actually talking about the rest of the ecosystem and the work they're doing there as well.
Well, as I said, if they can divide up the keynotes into some key verticals, right, and have different keynotes, like, you know, have your equivalent of Swami do an MLAI keynote, and, you know, all the foundational model stuff, the Vertex stuff, that should all be there. And that's where we should be talking about how to build models and how to, you know, ground models and all that stuff. And then, you know, you can still do a little bit of AI on main stage, but maybe the big model stuff, like, oh, you know, the next version of Gemini or the next, you know, big AI improvement. But I think it's an ability to segment these things out and figure out what makes the most sense. So moving on to day two included the developer keynote. I have honestly not watched it yet. I did not make it to the keynote and I do plan to watch it. So maybe we'll talk about it more next week if I see something that we don't talk about today. But you know, there's lots of cool things there. There's a new App Hub, which was announced, which with a deep integration to Google Cloud Assist. App Hub provides an accurate, up-to-date representation of deployed applications and their resource dependencies, regardless of the specific Google Cloud product they use, which is kind of cool. There's new BigQuery continuous queries, so you can do continuous SQL processing over data streams and enabling real-time pipelines with AI operators or reverse ETLs. New natural language support and AlloyDB, which allows you to basically do vector performance scaling against Alloy. And then Gemini Code Assist in Apigee API Management allows you to basically deploy your enterprise grade APIs and integrations using natural language prompts, as well as they announced a couple of things around detecting shadow API usage, which is sort of cool. So lots of cool things in Apigee. On the run side, Cloud Run got application canvases, which allow you to generate, modify, and deploy AI applications in Cloud Run. You got GenAI quick start solutions for GKE to do RAG-based patterns with GKE and RAID. And then Gemma on GKE support as well. Gemma, of course, is Google's open model based on Gemini. And the performance is apparently pretty good on that as well. There's a really interesting keynote presentation I heard that I want to check out from the developer one with Charity Majors, who's the co-founder and CTO at Honeycomb, where they're integrating Gemini capabilities directly into their observability stack and using that for predictability. And so apparently that was a pretty wow moment. Saw lots of people talking about it on Twitter. Vertex AI ML ops capabilities were announced. This is for Vertex AI prompt management, a shadow API thing I mentioned to you, confidential accelerators for AI workloads, and then GKE container and model preloading all in day two, which is still a pretty heavy day of announcements that didn't even make keynotes.
Yeah, the TPU support for GKE was should have been a bit more. I mean, I think they mentioned it in the keynote, didn't they? But it didn't seem to get much attention. But that's really useful. I mean, that's sort of commoditizing training, which it hasn't been before.
Yeah, overall, I'm still very much processing. Like, there's so much announced and so many new things that, you know, just trying to get it into scope and trying to have an understanding of where to focus was very difficult. And for this conference, like, usually I have an idea, like, these are the things I want to hit and these are the things I'm most interested in. I'll try to figure out how to do deep dives, but I feel kind of scattered with just the pace of the announcements and how they were sort of talked about in general. It's kind of crazy.
Yep. It'll be interesting to see how, you know, as the next week comes by, all of the announcements, you know, they'll have a bunch of blog posts, but like, here's the 175 things we announced to Google Next. You know, I'll definitely spend some more time with it before the next recording to kind of see what we missed that, you know, was announced in a breakout session we didn't go to, or wasn't highlighted in one of these key blogs we're talking about today. Because I imagine there's a ton of stuff that we're just missing because we just, you know, we can't spread so far, you know, in these conversations. All right, then the last interesting bit of stuff that we talked about today, there was lots of great FinOps announcements, and since we always talk about FinOps, first of all, FinOps billing data has become more timely. They've reduced the time for the billing data to get updated by 32%, and that's basically the data from how it gets inputted into BigQuery and into their UI to actually see your cost data. So you'll actually get a faster understanding of what you're spending, which could prevent, you know, you spending more money than you want to. Cloud billing announced support for cloud storage costs at the bucket level and storage tags. The focus specification basically got a new BigQuery data view. So you can view your data in focus format in BigQuery data directly. And as well as they announced the ability to for FinOps to convert cost manager reports into BigQuery billing queries right in the cloud billing console, giving you much more power to use BigQuery. The new cost anomaly detection for AI, no setup required. Much more enhanced cost anomaly ability, as well as granular root cause analysis of that. And then some new management capabilities for dealing with committed use discounts and viewing those in the FinOps hub. So quite a few nice quality of life improvements for FinOps.
Yeah, I think the unification of the focus format is going to be super powerful. And so I'm glad to see these enablements making it in to the native services as fast as possible, just because I think a lot of practitioners have that problem of multi-cloud and trying to compare apples to apples and understand costs everywhere. And it's just so difficult. So happy to see this.
Was there a cost for the anomaly detection? I didn't see it. I know you had to have, there were some requirements around needing a certain amount of history and a certain amount of spend, but is the anomaly detection itself an additional feature, or has it come included?
It seemed like it was separated out. You know, obviously, there's very little information on now because it's just announced, and so we'll have to see what, you know, how it looks and manifests in the thing. But it did seem like something that had a separate setup and maybe a different, you know, add-on cost. But it's hard to say right now.
Yeah, I clicked on the sign up link for the preview. It doesn't really give much information.
Like I said, that was a whirlwind of 3 days. There's a lot more for us to unpack next week here on the Cloud Pod. Any mm-hmm. other items you guys want to cover from FinOps or from the conference in general?
You know what? I was slightly concerned about missing out from not going, and I do miss. I think I did miss some good conversations with the product teams, but I don't think I missed too much not being in the audience for the keynote.
Yeah, I don't think you missed a lot from the big stuff, but yeah, the product manager conversations that you know we had, I think were really valuable. I think the breakout sessions where they did do announcements on new things, the what's new sessions that Ryan mentioned, I think those were really interesting. And those will all be on YouTube, luckily. So you know, in the next week or so, we'll be able to kind of highlight some key sessions that we think are good from YouTube. But yeah, it's kind of hard because if you just want to go to the general sessions, you just want to go to the keynote, it's hard for me to justify the price. I think the value is in the networking. It's in the conversations you're going to have with product management. It's in, you know, working with your sales manager, your sales account rep and having those conversations here on site. I think that's where the real value of these things are. And if you don't have that interaction, I think you do lose something, which is a bit of a bummer.
Yep. I'm looking forward to catch up on the exciting stuff I missed.
All right. Well, we'll be back next week to cover all the news we missed this week. And there's a lot. including some interesting announcements from Intel this week at their user conference, which was poorly timed with Google and all their AI announcements. But we'll talk about all that next week and then highlight anything we think that we missed from Google next that is more important to talk about. So we'll see you all next week.
Get home safely, guys.
See you later.
Thank you.
Will do.
Bye.
And that's the Week in Cloud. We'd like to thank this week's sponsor, Sunry. Check out a 14-day free trial at sunry.co/cloudpod. Check out our website, the home of the Cloud Pod, where you can check out our newsletter, Slack team, send feedback, or ask questions at thecloudpod.net, or tweet at us with hashtag #poundthecloudpod.